Hello, Millennium listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Millennium Live Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Tuohy, and we have a great episode that we're coming out with today about unlocking growth, how CDPs address five key business challenges. Today's episode is sponsored by Blueconic, just a great company, a customer data platform that really liberates your data in the privacy-first era. And I'm here with the Chief Executive Officer of Blueconic, Corey Munchback. Thank you so much, Corey, for taking the time out of your day to kind of jump on the podcast with me and talk about Blueconic and CDPs.
Thrilled to be here, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, you know, Corey, you've spent your career on the cutting edge of marketing technology, and you bring years of working with Fortune 500 clients from various industries to Blueconic, and some of the key business challenges that you probably face all the time that we'll be covering today is operational efficiency, marketing ROI, siloed customer data, mitigating risks and compliance, and competitive advantage. So if you're an executive and you have some of these or all of these problems and challenges, then this is the podcast for you. So, Corey, just to kick things off, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into this role of Chief Executive Officer at Blueconic, and just, you know, how CDPs and these customer data platforms really have a big impact on business growth?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I've been doing this for a minute here in the MarTech space. I've been with Blueconic now over 9 years, but I've been CEO for the last just over a year when I stepped into the role after our founder and CEO handed me the reins in January of last year. But I joined the company when I was employee 17 back in 2015. And before that, I'd been an analyst at Forrester Research and had been covering the MarTech space. I wrote the first marketing cloud wave when I was at Forrester, but also just had an amazing opportunity to learn alongside and from some really brilliant minds in marketing, marketing strategy, tech, et cetera. And so that's really where I've been focused for quite some time now. And really my greatest source of learning is always, whether it was Forrester or in my various roles with this company, from our customers and what's going on in the market and the pain points that they have. You've listed off some of those key business challenges and really immersing myself in that. And from our angle, how do we help solve that both as a technology, but also as a partner to the customers that we get to work with as they navigate this? So that's a little about me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Corey. It's great, again, great to have you here and speaking on this podcast. So, well, as I mentioned, we are talking about customer data platforms. So, you know, just they've really become increasingly popular in recent years. So for those executives and our Millennium members who are listening to this podcast, who might not be so familiar, could you explain what exactly we'll start from scratch what a CDP is and why sort of they came to be?
Sure. So not only has this been the thing that I'm sort of immersed in, I think what's really interesting is I've probably been asked a version of this question more times than I could possibly count. And the reality of it is, even if you think you are familiar with a CDP, that is often varied based on, you know, who you've worked with, because it is a kind of a complicated space. There are a lot of different types of technologies that have sort of picked this up as a name, you know, category that they're in, dropped it again, all of that. So admittedly, it's kind of a complicated one to navigate. But in a nutshell, the whole reason for being for a customer data platform like Blueconic is to focus on customer data. So very specifically around profiles of individuals of people who are engaging with your companies, unifying customer data into those profiles in such a way that marketers and digital teams can then activate it. And by activate, I mean, give that data to your email platform or use it as the basis of your paid media, use it on your website for personalization. So this unify activate dynamic is a really important one, but so too is the fact that it's focused on marketers, right? One of the things that has been a challenge always for marketing is getting their hands on their data. It's usually historically been something that either IT managed or even an outside agency, and just marketing and sort of associated growth and business teams haven't really been empowered with a tool that was specifically made for them to do that data unification and also make it easy to activate on. And it's that kind of intersection and specific focus on who we are helping to use data in new and different ways that was the basis of CDPs coming into the forefront as they were now almost a decade ago. But then over time, because as you might imagine, that challenge I just described, there's so much more data than we've ever had, so many different ways to activate it. That's really increased the importance of the platform, but also quite frankly, increased kind of the complexity around that and can make that challenging, as I said, to sort of navigate what the right partner is for you and your business based on what use cases you have and what industry you're in. So it kind of can be a lot to wade through, but at its core, that's what a CDP is born to do and does incredibly well.
Right. It is. These challenges are complex. And so talking a little bit about Blueconic, how does a CDP like Blueconic really fit into the broader context as a provider of solutions, right? As a marketing technology solution?
Yeah. So one of the things that is really important of what I sort of just described for CDP and where we fit is that for us, it's a North Star of the marketing and digital teams. So folks who are maybe not technical by nature, they're not proficient in knowing SQL or other technical languages or ways of interacting with data. They're the ones who have kind of hands-on keyboard and are really responsible for figuring out how do we grow a brand or how do we grow a business, whether that's through marketing initiatives or other types of kind of business orientation. And so that's the real focus area for us. Our North Star is on that, what we kind of think of as broadly growth-focused users. And why that matters is that when you are an individual like that in an organization, your data has historically been very, very siloed. I know that's such a cliche to even say, but the idea of who your consumer is or who your customer is totally different, whether that's someone who's in your email platform versus your loyalty system, or if you've got a loyalty program, who they are when they show up on your website, who they might be when they're in your POS or transactional databases, right? There's this incredible fragmentation for those folks around who is it that I'm actually talking to? Who is this consumer? The data is there, but it hasn't been stitched together to say, oh, okay, you're Corey across these different places and you're Connor in these different places. And then how do I more efficiently interact with you? How do I make sure those messages or the things that I'm talking to you about are as resonant as possible? And the reality is that this is not a new problem by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that, as I said, it's getting more and more complex as the sources of data get more complex, as we have to manage that volume, but also that variety of it. And also now the velocity, it's coming in so fast. There's so many signals coming in across those different dimensions. So not only do you need to handle that breadth of scale, but then at the same time, need to figure out, okay, what is the right way to translate that? And how do I do it so it's super efficient for the organization? This can't add, you know, I need 10 more people in the marketing organization to be able to do these. I need to be able to do it in a way that's operationally efficient as well. And so that is like our whole reason for being, especially Blueconic, even within the broader CDP space, is to say, you tell us what your context is, what other marketing technology you have, what other sources of data and channels are there. We're going to help you distill the most important data about that consumer into the profile that we have in the platform and then make it really easy for you to take action on that data. Again, without adding a lot of cognitive load to an individual marketer's day, certainly we want to make sure that we actually let you do more with less. You know, one of the things that has really energized me over my years of doing this is the time that we give back to marketing teams to go do creative things instead of all of the manual labor it takes to pull lists and sort of all of this rote stuff that can be automated and done at much higher speeds, so that you can go figure out who are these people? What kind of creative, amazing ways can we interact with them, right? Really go back to being true marketers, and giving that time back and that energy back into a day that really compounds in terms of what a marketing team can do to engage with consumers and sort of the new ideas, innovation that they can bring to market.
I love that. And earlier I was thinking, I was going to say data has been so siloed, but I'm glad I wasn't the one
You
to
know,
say.
they're cliches for a reason. All cliches have a basis in truth.
Of course they do. I actually, that reminds me of being at the Drum. That was like our first project we did, was doing did this like list of B2B marketing cliches. So thanks for that memory
You got
blast.
it. I'm here. If anyone has a buzzword bingo that's listening to this podcast, we've checked off at least one box.
And there's more to come too. So,
No doubt.
Corey, actually, before kind of diving in, I would definitely want to pick your brain about some of these challenges that CDPs address. But I was wondering if you could sort of dive into some insights into the current landscape and maybe particularly some trends that's kind of shaping the marketing and advertising industry.
For sure. And there are many. What a time to be in this industry. For every challenge, there's an opportunity, right? So we want to find the silver linings of some of these. So I think one of the absolute biggest is just purely the economy that we're all navigating right now. And then what is without a doubt, marketing and advertising has been hurt by the shifts in the macroeconomic climate. Those budgets are the ones that have been cut largely across the board. And so we're seeing teams needing to figure out, speaking of cliches, how to do more with less. But it's just a fact on the ground that that is true. I mean, the reality, marketing and advertising are the growth engines of most businesses. And so you have this really painful trade-offs of if you are needing to invest less there or cut back there. It can also hurt growth. And so most marketing and sort of senior digital executives are trying to figure out what that right balance is in the context of these uncertain economic times that we're navigating. When you couple that with all of the changes when it comes to the third-party cookie going away, but also the different and ever-shifting privacy regulations, this broad sort of dislocation, if you will, the way we've done marketing and advertising before has now turned into something that is being heavily confronted since the official start of the cookie deprecation started in January of this year by Google. So that is happening at the same time, which is a pretty massive shift. And then I think the third aspect of this is that you always have seen this really this pendulum between who owns marketing technology and sort of the technologies marketing uses. And it will swing from IT back to the business and over and over. And one of the things I think we're also seeing right now is a little bit of a tug of war between IT and marketing and who owns what data and how companies work. That, as I said, is cyclical in a lot of ways, but we're very much in a moment where, as a byproduct, I think too, of some of the economic shifts and folks really looking to make sure that they are using budgets as effectively as possible, you're seeing that bubble to the surface of marketing having to defend their own technology usage, how they use it, why it needs to stay within their space as opposed to going back out again to IT or someone else, because they really need it to be something that they have full access and control over. But we're really feeling the tension, I think, between that right now at these moments. So those would be the three biggest things that I think I would point to as shaping what is happening in marketing and advertising today.
Awesome. So at the beginning, we kind of discovered these five key business challenges, which is operational efficiency, marketing ROI, siloed customer data, mitigating risks and compliance, and having that competitive advantage. So, Cora, I'd love if you can dive into to these challenges and sort of how our CDPs, specifically over at Bluconic, addressing these challenges.
Yeah. So one thing that I am so passionate about in this space is the way we think about buying technology and marketing technology needs to be purchased and used primarily, if not exclusively, driven by the use cases that are needed. Every technology is going to solve problems a little bit differently. And so finding the right fit for your use cases, which come out of business challenges, is so incredibly crucial. So one of the things that I think is so important, if anyone who's listening to this or either has a CDP or is thinking about it, is what are your unique business context needs, industry priorities, et cetera, that are shaping your context today. And I think there's really five that span all of that, but how they will show up exactly will vary a little bit. That's kind of the devil in the details. One of them I already mentioned is the deprecation of third-party cookies. So as of the beginning of January this year, we see Chrome phasing out support for third-party cookies. Apple started to do that quite some time ago. And this is all impacting marketers' ability to track and target online. We're seeing that show up now too in mobile. But in general, there's this really crumbling of a reliance on what has been an institution for advertising and marketing for really most of the last 20, 30 years. So what Bluconic focuses on is giving you an alternative approach to a lot of the data management and targeting. That starts with being privacy compliant and using first party data. And that can be for a lot of customers who are historically data poor. You may be just building this up from scratch through your website or through other digital places where you haven't had a touch point before. Or maybe you're just getting for the first time access to transactional data that you haven't necessarily had access to. But you really need to have the ability to analyze what your consumer behavior is and start to deliver personalization on top of that, but without the third-party cookie. And so that is first and foremost, and very related to that is the changes to data privacy and compliance. So the challenge is there. You've seen it globally. This is a huge trend across the world as far as how different data protection legislation is coming online. We've seen that since GDPR came out of Europe. That was 2018. But according to the UN, 137 countries now have national privacy laws in place. For the US listeners, you already know that there's dozens of different ones based on state. So it's super complicated. And meanwhile, non-compliance makes a pretty significant financial and reputational risk and a loss of consumer trust. So the stakes here are inordinately high. And this is, again, an area where CDP has fantastic tailwinds because we help comply with those data privacy laws, giving you consent management and data governance tools at that marketer and brand level so that you can navigate these. So those are two huge ones. The other ones I would mention right now, again, very common, but vary a little bit, is just limited customer insights. Whether you have a ton of data, you just don't have access to it, or maybe you don't have the access at all. Either way, needing to be able to get those consumer insights and consolidate disparate data into that unified profile that I've talked about, that gives you that comprehensive view that you need, but more importantly, one that you can act on in the form of things like personalization. And if you don't have great insights right now, you definitely don't have great personalization. That's a fourth kind of core area that CDP helps enable. So we want you to be able to segment your audience more effectively without a ton of additional work, as I mentioned, and crucially doing that across all the different channels you may be engaging with your customers. Last thing I'd mention that's very, very common is really just an overall lack of agility and flexibility that marketing and adjacent teams have. So that can be a byproduct of how your technology today is not up to speed. And I mean that literally and figuratively, just not being able to meet the customer expectations, which are super, super fast. CDP is very much a modern technology and making sure that we can help you move more quickly. So whether that's integrating new data sources or just making the data available for activation, this is kind of essentially giving the marketing team the tools it needs to operate at the speed of the customer. And that is not slowing down. In fact, I'd argue it's accelerating. But I really see this is not just a question of day to day, but it's also marketing is always on the quest for being so relevant. And so being able to respond, whether it's a national event and get something clever into market that builds on the momentum of an event that's happening, kind of just capturing lightning in a bottle, or more generally, just keeping up with consumers, as I mentioned, this is really about building a certain discipline and muscle into the organization that I find that most don't have. So across the board, those are kind of the core areas that CDP is crucial to helping the majority of our customers get online and scale up.
Awesome. Yeah. A couple of those challenges really stand out. And I was kind of curious if you can perhaps elaborate, Corey, on specific ways that Bluconic is handling these problems and challenges. But helping with improving consumer insights while maintaining and mitigating those risks and ensuring compliance. I mean, that compliance is so important. But how is Blue Conic specifically handling these challenges?
Sure. So I think one of the things that is so important today is having a great sense of the data lineage that you're dealing with. And the reality is that most marketing organizations have relied on purchased data from third-party types of vendors and data that they're getting in from cookies and just a lot of places that either don't pass the sniff test today or straight up, just you don't know where they came from in the first place, right? You sort of have just had them and they've been in a database somewhere for a long time. And so I think starting with a clean slate is a really big piece of this. And that really is a forcing function for companies to look at their data and assess what level of confidence they have in its quality, in its hygiene, and in its consent with modern privacy laws. So, in order to make sure that you're getting to the best insights, again, let's add it to the bingo card of garbage in, garbage out. You're dealing with a lot of that. It may be time to just move on from what you have in the first place. So, starting with the consolidation, being very thoughtful about how the data comes in from different sources, online and off. Whether they are marketing tools or others, but really not just bringing them in. It's not just the act of bringing them in, but being thoughtful in the process, doing discovery as to why you're bringing that data in. And from there, continuing to be thoughtful about how you enrich that data. That can be through what we would call synthetic attributes. Obviously, with the rise of AI and machine learning, you can do a lot more derivative insight around a consumer and attach that as a data score. So, for example, a propensity score is a synthetic attribute of a consumer. You want to make sure that you are making those calculations, doing that analytics on good data. And so that is a really big piece of that and how we think about the enrichment. The same is true for how you clean up the data, making sure that you are using models that don't make inferences that they shouldn't and be really thoughtful there. I would argue that a lot of historical kind of probabilistic models or the types of segmentation that you might have gotten used to with DMPs and other kind of advertising first types of technologies got everyone very comfortable with some blurriness around, what's actually included, what's not. And being more rigorous around that is a key piece of success here. And again, part of using a CDP is as a forcing function to be thoughtful there, put the right rules in place, put the right merge guidelines in place, and giving you control over that and full visibility into it. And that is both empowering, but also a big responsibility, and that our teams need to work with customers on. And then the last couple of things here, I think that are really important on the customer insight side. Customer insights needs to be actionable. It's great to have a cool idea, but if you can't do anything with it, doesn't really help the business. So how do we put those ideas into market? Whether that's through thoughtful testing, again, doing that in a consent-oriented way. And increasingly now seeing the opportunity to do that with other tools like data clean rooms that sit next to your CDP so that you can test more, you can try partnerships in new and different ways, second party data sharing, retail media networks, right? There's all these new ways that are perhaps not as grand scale as, say, the entire internet of Chrome, but are still super, super valuable. And I would argue, help move us into a world in which we're focused more on quality over quantity. And in fact, I have very strong evidence from our customers that that can be done. And when you add in the cost or the risks of not doing it in this way and sort of exposing yourself a la Sephora to massive fines under the California laws, there's just really only upside in making these shifts. And a CDP is really the kind of key piece in making that happen.
That's a great couple of points, Corey. And another couple of challenges that I wanted to bring up too before we get into those case studies, because I definitely want to bring that up.
For
But
sure.
we know streamlining operations and sort of enhancing the overall efficiency within businesses is crucial for success, for ROI. So in what ways does CDPs kind of contribute to this? And also that competitive advantage I want to talk about. How do you see CDPs really helping businesses provide that competitive edge And especially when we're talking really crowded markets here, right? Like the space is ever growing. So how do we get this, and how do CDPs really contribute?
Yeah, so I think there's really a strong connection between both halves of that question. So in terms of being able to manage and get the higher operational efficiency is directly tied to how you gain competitive advantage. So on the operational efficiency side of things, one of the fascinating parts of marketing technology has been that the tech may have enabled a lot of different things, quite frankly, lots of personalization, the ability to try out new things. The reality was, though, that it was so much work to configure. And so it added a capability, but it didn't add a capability that was kind of a force multiplier, if you will. So if it takes you so much time and so much energy to get a test in market or to launch a campaign, the reality of it is that it's probably not going to bring enough incremental ROI to have justified that as an investment. And I think what I'm so struck by is the power of the CDP and the power of what we're doing with our customers is that you can operate at a hyper efficient level and not do that with, again, adding additional resources or drag into the rest of the organization. And so the reason that matters is not just, great, I get to do more with less, or I can do more with the same, however you want to think about it. But what I think about there then is you are essentially making all of your marketing efforts more powerful. If every campaign is incrementally more efficient because of the fact that you are powering it with first-party data, if every email campaign that you run increases your overall wallet share with a customer, if every personalization endeavor you post for a publisher that increases subscriptions, that is dollars in the pocket of the organization. So the more you can do more with an efficient investment, the more results you're going to get. And so that's a really virtuous, powerful cycle, but it isn't just enough to get the results. So that's my key point here, is that the operational efficiency required to run those high performing campaigns and programs that get you those sexy results of more dollars and higher percentage points only can happen when the marketing organization can actually do that at scale. And that is what the CDP has really unlocked for the majority of customers. And then that gets into your second question about the competitive advantage. You are able to be agile and more responsive to what is going on for your consumers at any given moment. That can be massive changes in the world, like a global pandemic happening, but it can also be just capturing the zeitgeist of something cool that's happening for your customers that you want to build a campaign around or get people excited about. It'll help you optimize your ad spend when you have better visibility into who your customers are, and you can create smarter seed audiences and more targeted campaigns. That is all going to uplift your overall yield on your ad spend, which, given how many billions of dollars we spend on advertising, 1% improvement there is really massive. Furthermore, you are developing much deeper relationships with your consumers in this way. You are building trust, which is a key currency of this modern world, especially in the context of privacy really being the new digital here. But if you are able to create new experiences, what Forrester calls invisible experiences, which is this idea that consumers, you know, just expect brands to use context and technology to improve how they complete tasks or achieve their goals, or just even simply get peace of mind, you're really underscoring how your brand helps do that. And the more that you can do that ahead of your competitors is literally by definition competitive advantage there. And so, you know, that's really how we see these operational efficiencies unlocking performance results, which combined drive pretty significant competitive advantage across a bunch of different industries.
So, Corey, Blueconic, it's providing a unified view of the customer, and it's really accelerating business growth. And I would love to talk a little bit about some of those examples and case studies that you've seen And they're the ones that kind of stand out about how Blueconics CDP has really helped businesses optimize their marketing ROI.
For sure. I mean, we could do this part all day. And as I said at the beginning, learning from and learning alongside our customers is truly my favorite part of my job in a lot of ways. So let me give you a couple that try to span a number of different industries and use cases, as I mentioned. So VF Corp has been an amazing customer and partner of Blueconics for quite some time now. They are the parent company for brands like the North Face and Vans and Timberland and Dickies and Smartwool and a number of others. They're just amazing, very focused on outdoor and lifestyle brands that are really iconic in a lot of ways. One example that they implemented very early on in their Blueconic journey is one of the brands had relied heavily on an external agency to create customer segments for their email campaigns, which was pretty standard for most. The problem was that it took somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks to get the lists. They cost thousands of dollars every time they pulled one of those lists. And as a result, the marketing team really just defaulted to requesting, you know, the broadest segments possible because that was what they could do, given the cost, literal cost in dollars, but also in time. And so when we added Blueconic to the mix and moved that data into our platform, suddenly the teams that were running the email campaigns were creating their own segments. And not only that, they were doing it and being able to experiment in real time with the data because there was no lag, no cost associated. So suddenly, instead of having to cast a really wide net, they could add in all kinds of different variables. They could refine the audiences down, add this enormously powerful level of granularity to what they were doing. And as a result, those new segments that they were then using to base their emails on included things like not just the audience demographics, but their buying behaviors, product preferences, propensity, all this other data. And as you might imagine, not only was that super exciting and energizing that they got to be creative about this, but the email campaigns were vastly more impactful than they had ever been before. And so that's where I get back to that same point of needing both halves of this equation is the empowering of the team, doing it in a way that makes intuitive sense to them, allows them to engage with the data. These folks are brilliant. They know their customers. They're amazing. Now they have a tool that lets them bring that to life and communicate with those customers in that way. And as a result, drive pretty significant performance improvement for one of the most critical channels for retailers and many other industries, which was email. So that's one example of how the addition of the CDP was, you know, almost impossible to quantify in terms of the transformation that it has made for that brand that they've been able to build from them. And then another example that I would give in a totally different industry and also moving from a North American brand to one in the Nordics. Telia is a telecommunications company focused on the Nordic countries in Europe. They have an amazing guiding vision of personalization at scale. And they would define this as the ability to tailor interactions with customers at every point in their life cycle and use data to drive smarter customer engagement. And they have customers across multiple countries, products, brands, and systems. So Telia relies on Blueconic to build out those unified profiles that I've been talking about that they can use for activation. And they have that data that's so up to date and real time that if a particular customer or prospect, wherever they are in their life cycle, they can use segmentation and then say, this is the right moment to intervene in that, or this is how we should respond to an inbound piece of information here. And so really cut through kind of the noise and find that right signal and recognizing the customers across all those different systems and touch points, particularly for their customer service team. So this isn't just a marketing use case, allows them to put really relevant content. And that can be an upsell offer in front of a customer that's calling for a renewal. Doing that improved their conversion rates for cross-sell and upsell more than 3 times. And then they also can then use that data in much more cross-channel lifecycle marketing programs and see the uplift there. So again, totally different industries, but the same concept of better data in the hands of the folks who know how to use it to have those timely conversations with customers have a meaningful impact on overall business results that they are driving to grow the whole company.
Corey, this has been such a great chat, and thanks for diving into CDPs and kind of touching upon how Bluconic is really leading the charge here, but I can't let you go without asking one final question. I do like to end the podcast on a more future question or a piece of wisdom, advice, and I think that's appropriate for this. I'm a C-level executive, and this all sounds great, and my data is siloed. I need to democratize my data. For any business considering a CDP, what advice would you give them?
Three things. First and foremost, clearly define your use cases. When it comes to choosing and implementing a CDP, not all are created equal, but also not all are necessarily the right fit for you. And so a lack of shared understanding about what the use cases are really can be enormously problematic and lose you tons of time, potentially down the road, not just upfront. So really carefully planning and prioritizing use cases will help guide your overall strategy and the implementation process. So that's one. Second is start relatively small and scale up over time. We really have seen that the customers that use a more phased approach to CDP implementation, starting with your most critical use cases or in a particular brand or region, that helps you validate the effectiveness, and then you can scale it from there. And taking that incremental approach allows you to learn and adjust as you go and actually helps you pick up speed throughout that implementation over time. So you minimize risk and maximize benefits, which to my way of thinking is a win-win across the board. And then the third one is making sure, and this is especially for the executives who are listening to this, is focusing on change management. This is not a set it and forget it proposition, and success or failure really does come down to an ability to manage the change in the organization. I mentioned earlier, this is about building a muscle. There is no such tool that comes in and transforms everything like a silver bullet. This is going to bring in new strategies and new tactics that require companies to reexamine whether it's org structure, resourcing, skills, workflows, all kinds of aspects around the technology itself that in order to get the desired results may be impacted. So those are my three very clearly: defining your use cases, start small, scale gradually, and focus on change management. Doing those things will be transformative with the addition of CDP, and you'll only have upwards and onwards from there.
Corey Munchback, CEO of Bluconic, thank you so much for joining the Millennium Live podcast to talk about that transformative power of customer data platforms, and specifically how Bluconic is really empowering organizations, not only through maximizing their marketing ROI, but giving that competitive advantage that you're looking for. So Corey, thank you so much. Hope there's a part two to this. I love talking to you. And we'll see you soon at a Millennium Alliance event.
Thanks for having me, Connor.